Welcome to the HR Matters podcast. HR matters because people matter. This is the place where you can listen to fresh ideas about working together with topics that really matter and insights into the changes you can make in your organization today. This is for you if you have a keen investment in the people within your organization and in yourself as a human being. Featuring Lisa Dempsey.
Hello.
And Marjolein Vlug, that's me. And today we're having another great conversation with a great guest that is bringing in interesting topics and insights. It's Pamela Hackett. Pam, would you please introduce yourself?
Sure, and thanks for inviting me. So Pam Hackett, CEO of Proudfoot. We're a firm that goes out and does big, meaty, major transformations with companies to get really tough results in terms of bottom line impact. But I think the real key thing that perhaps some of your audience might be interested in is we always start with the people side. And when you hear all those horrible statistics about transformations failing, you know, our view on that is, well, that means we didn't engage the people, because the bottom line is nothing moves until people move. So that's kind of what I'd love to have a chat with you about today.
Yes, please, let's. Yeah.
Love that. And it's so true. It's a simple truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what from all the things that are great to talk about today, what I also love is your international perspective, because you know you've worked with teams in Mongolia, in Ghana, in Barcelona, in New Caledonia. Just amazing.
So all over the world, yeah.
Yeah. What have you seen and what have you noticed about that?
Well, you know, it's a great kind of a lead-in to 50,000 engagements is what Proudfoot has done. I haven't been around for all of them, but for a good part of them. I've been in Proudfoot for 35 years. And of course, as a company, we're 75 years old. And this whole people element has been at the backbone of that forever. I think what we've learned and what has become so relevant now post-pandemic, even more relevant, is that simple fact that if you want to run a great business and if you want to look at what the best led businesses are doing, what we found is the one common element in those 50,000 engagements is that leaders at every level in the business, they're active. They're actively in the game. They don't spend their time in the office. They don't spend their time on their devices. You know, they really do lift their noses up from their devices, from their technology, from their admin, their reporting, and they connect with people. And it's a really simple concept that we call heads up. So they go heads up, they get in the game, and they engage. And I think that's the real key. And that's really, you know, that's kind of my mantras around, are you managing to engage? Because in the past, certainly from the statistics and from the observations when we first land with organizations, a lot of talent, a lot of wonderful leaders, they haven't cracked the nut on how to manage to engage.
Yeah. And what are some of the hallmarks of that? What does it look like when a manager really is engaged? You know, what are those daily practices? Because I can imagine there are all sorts of ways that it shows up. And I'm sure there are lots of managers out there that feel like, oh, I am engaged. I turn up on time every day and I do great things.
I talk with people in meetings all the time.
Exactly.
But what does that real meaty engagement, the really meaningful stuff look like?
Sure. And I, you know, to preface that a little bit, I'll give a bit of a preamble on the I show up, so I should be engaged. I think that a lot of leaders, especially new leaders, they don't understand the pragmatic solutions that you can bring every day just through how you actually connect with people. They don't understand what those pragmatic solutions are. And so it's really important when I say that not all managers engage, that we don't go down the culpability route and instead we go down the capability and the capacity. You know, the reason managers don't engage is because they either don't have the capacity or the capability, and oftentimes because they don't know what that looks like. So the question around what does it look like is really, really important. And I think the other thing, just to, again, preface the answer to that question, is I think that when we as leaders, anybody, a manager in any business who's caring for a team, they wake up in the morning and they don't think to themselves, right, I'm going to disengage all my people today. I'm going to be a really bad leader. Yeah, I'm just not going to do my job. Nobody thinks that. What they do have is, oh my goodness, I've got all these plates spinning. I've got all these balls in the air. I've got to make my numbers. Ah, and I've got to engage people. How do I fit it all into my day? And I think, and so that's why that question that you just asked is so important, because I think what we have to do, the guys who have been around for a little while, 35 years of seeing businesses and what good looks like, is really encourage people to understand how pragmatic some of these solutions are and how easy it is it's kind of easy but not, but how easy it is once you look through the right lens to engage. So here's a really, just to really kind of get out of the gate running, here's a really simple concept that we talk about with everybody. And we call it 1-5-30. So if there was nothing else that you were able to do in your life as a manager, I would ask you to do 1-5-30. And it's straightforward. One stands for check in once a day, whether that is a quick, hi, how's it, how are you feeling, or whether it's a little bit longer, is there anything that's getting in the way of you being able to do your job today? It's a quick check-in, and it's really important to say check-in and not check-up. And so once a day, check in with your team. So if you're a frontline leader, if you're a frontline supervisor or manager, you should be practicing 1-5-30. Check in once a day with your team. Then five is once a week. One of those 5 days during the week, you want to have a more meaningful conversation. You want to say, okay, now I'm going to dedicate 20, 30 minutes to a chat with my team members, each of them, and we're going to talk about how the week went. What did we plan to achieve? What did we actually achieve? And that gap, what do we need to do to close it if there's a gap there? And then you as the team leader, the supervisor, you start to earn the right to have a conversation with your team about performance, which is always the tough one, right? But if you have a routine, 1-5-30, so you've checked in once a day, people expect you to check in, and they don't think it's a strange thing. They don't think, oh my goodness, the boss is checking in.
What do I say?
Yeah. Instead, they say, oh, okay, it's my once a day check in. I'm just so I can just let my boss know how things are going. Once a week, let's talk about how the performance of the business is going, the team, whatever it is that you're charged with doing. And that's number five. And then 30 is once a month. Have a really interesting conversation about that individual and how they're doing in their job as more of a development, more of a career, more of a where are things going. And so if you think about it, if you're the frontline team leader, you practice 1-5-30, you get into a rhythm, your team knows the rhythm, they get comfortable chatting about performance and about how things are going. You learn more about them because in that conversation, you're going to talk about mum, dad, the kids, the dogs, whatever it is that they're dealing with in addition to work, because today that's important. Yeah. And then you get the added bonus. So that's going to help you with getting your results and it's going to get you engagement. You're going to be connecting. But if you practice all three, 1-5-30, you get the added bonus of actually almost doing your performance management system in real time. And so you're hitting all these different boxes. But at the end of the day, you're connecting engagement with productivity and performance. And you've got guys who really feel that you care about them and that you're connecting with them. And at the same time, you care about the results. And so all that together, you've got a pragmatic 1-5-30.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that's really powerful about it is you start out by first checking in with the whole human being. Mm-hmm. How are you as a human being? What's going on in your life? What is here? Yeah. And then, you connect it out into the bigger picture. What is the bigger picture this week? What is the bigger picture this month? And that naturally evolves into a lot of effectiveness, right? There's a huge amount of business effectiveness that comes out of that.
Yeah. And if you think about what I said at the beginning, which is that managers, sometimes they don't have the capacity or the capability. If it's capacity, oftentimes it's because they're busy doing something, a crisis, dealing with things. if you do your 1-5-30s and you know what's going on in the business and you start to solve the problems that are presenting themselves to your people, which ultimately can get in the way of getting the results, which ultimately gets you tied up with all of the crisis, you know, and the things that you have to do, you're actually probably going to free up your time and give yourself capacity to engage, because you're going to know what's going on in the business. So, you know, you go back to what does good look like, and those businesses that are well led have active management. That active management knows what's going on in the business, and they solve the problems that their team members can't solve. And so that gives you capacity to both do your job and also engage with people.
Yeah, I love that. Just like Lisa said, I love the part where, you know, there's time and space to even briefly look at the whole person, and also the reliability of it. You know, you can just depend on having some bit of room to breathe and to say what you need to say, to talk about what needs to be talked about. You can both rely on there always being a moment for that, whether it's for 5 minutes a day, whether it's, you know, it's coming this week, or, you know, you'll have real time to dive in a bit more this month.
That takes
away a lot of brain space that is otherwise spent worrying or planning or you know, you can just let that go and follow the flow of that on both ends.
And it gives you a rhythm, because you as a leader, you get into the rhythm of your day and people expect it. I think the other thing that it does, which is it helps you figure out that phrase, bad hair days.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it helps you figure out what's wrong in the business. You know, I call it bad hair days for a really silly reason, but true story. Sitting in a brand new airport one day, and I decided I was going through transit, and the new airport was just phenomenal. All the bells and whistles and technology and all those beautiful things that a new, you know, shiny new building brings. And so I thought, oh, I've got time. I'm going to take a shower in this nice, bright, shiny new lounge, you know, really take advantage of the services. And I don't usually, I had transit time, so I don't usually have time between flights to suddenly decide to, you know, take a shower. But I had it. So I thought, great. And then I made a decision I've never done, which is I decided to wash my hair.
Because why not? Yeah, you're there.
It's all new. I thought I've got time, you know, I'll really experience this new lounge and building and technology, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. And the only problem was I didn't actually look at what they were using to dry your hair. Mm-hmm. And so I've got wet hair. I get out of the shower. I'm in my very shiny, lovely cubicle of this new lounge. And then I look on the wall, and there's one of those old hair dryers that has what looks like a vacuum cleaner hose.
Yeah. Like the beige brown thing.
And I'm a shorty. And so it's also quite high. And so I reach for it, I grab it, it doesn't reach my head, and then I turn it on, and it has the wind power of, and that is it, you know. And I'm standing there, towel wrapped around me, wet hair, and I realize there's no way that my hair is going to be dried. And so, you know, enter my kind of silly phrase that says, if there was ever a bad hair day moment, it was then. But this is what happens at work. And so, you know, if you kind of take that and you say, okay, how many times have we brought in this wonderful new process, this new technology, whatever it is that we think as a manager, we think, oh, this is just fantastic. And then one of our employees, some poor team member who has to use it, finds that one thing that then puts everything back to zero. It doesn't matter how great everything else is, but that one point in the process that didn't work, and suddenly, if that happens every day, you've got a guy who's got a bad hair day moment, it cheeses them off, and bingo, you've got disengaged people. So getting your processes right and finding all those what cheeses people off and those bad hair day moments, fixing all of that is super important, not because it engages people, but because it disengages them. People expect that to be right.
And not because everything's wrong, But because that one tiny thing makes such a big difference.
Yeah, that and it's the, you know, engagement is a little bit like air. You don't notice it when it's there. Everything is humming and it's beautiful. Yeah. But boy, do you notice it when it's gone. And if you've got too many of those bad hair day moments, you're going to have a team that's going to end up being disgruntled. They're going to be disengaged. They're going to be unhappy, because who wants to come to work every day and have to battle with these, you know, these things that are wrong? So I think for, again, you know, you go back to pragmatic solutions to engagement. Some of it, the starting point is take a look at your business and find out what's actually cheesing people off and what actually is not working for them and where all those bad hair day moments are, and fix them. And if you can fix that, you're going to be on the road to engagement. Again, you're not going to engage, but you're going to stop people from being turned off. And your job is to, you know, turn up the volume on engagement, not turn it down.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to get some of those roadblocks out of the way and open the pathway for the engagement to grow.
Exactly. And
one thing that I really appreciate, Pamela, about what it is that you're pointing to is that managing people requires time, effort, and energy. You know, I think so many organizations, there's just sort of this idea of, okay, so congratulations, we're going to promote you. You're going to become a manager of a team. Hurrah. And by the way, you're going to keep on doing 1,000% of everything that you were doing before, right? And there's zero space built in for the people factor.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet it is the most important.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the only way you can get great results is if you've got an engaged team. And the only way you get an engaged team is if the manager, the person who owns that team, actually does a great job with them. And we all know that, you know, engagement rests in the hands of the actual, you know, team leader. And so I think the for all the next generation leaders that, you know, that are being put into those jobs, it is so important to learn the people side of leading teams, because it starts everything. You want to get, you know, you want to hit your numbers. The only way you can do it is if you engage your people. And you can't palm that off to HR. You know, it's really important that HR gives you the support and they remind you of what's out there, but it's not about, you know, perks and policies and ping pong tables. It's about how you show up every day as a leader and how you interact with people and what you're doing to enable people to be successful. So I think our job as senior leaders is to make sure that the newbie leaders are set up for success. And the only way you can do that is by making sure they understand how to manage to engage. And, you know, and that's really the starting point of their success.
And what's some of your advice or tips for, you know, those new managers who they haven't been given the capacity in terms of, you know, they don't have the time. How do they go about creating that time or asking for that time? How does that get created?
Yeah, I think there's no magic bullet there, but making it. You know, you've really got to create that capacity yourself, and you've got to believe that will give you the capacity going forward. The more you invest in people, the higher the return. And the more you invest in them, the more successful they will be. The more successful they are, the more capacity and capability you build. So I think you've got to really just at the very beginning say to yourself, I know it's going to pay off, and therefore I'm going to carve out the time here, and I'm going to make really hard decisions. I'm going to practice strategic sacrifice, and I'm going to say, this is not something I should spend my time on because it's not going to have the payback. This is something I will spend my time on, people, because that's going to pay back in spades.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's strategic, and it's about making that investment at the front. And, you know, being intentional around that and investing that.
Exactly.
And then seeing the payoff.
And it's a real leadership skill to be able to say, you know, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to either delegate it or I'm going to take it off the agenda because there just isn't the space. It isn't a part of the priority. You know, we know the best leaders out there, they say no far more often than they do yes.
And I think in this world, post-pandemic, we do still have a lot of people who are operating like we are today, you know, on Zoom and everything else. I think that this actually has given us, again, it's we've earned the right to check in with people because there's no other way to do it. So you you create that capacity by making sure you are checking in and you start to talk about what's going on in people's worlds so that you can solve those problems. I think the real key is to understand the difference between what you can influence versus what you can't. And then, you know, we always say that you can coach the people on your team and you can influence the people at the fringe who are not on your team. And the best way to know what to do there is to get in the game, know what's going on in the work world, know what your team members are up against, take a look at it and then say, I can solve that. I can go and talk to this team and then tell your team, again, building your own capacity is to also push back on your team and say, actually, you can solve this. You don't need me to do this. And here's some ways to do that.
Well, what's been one of your biggest surprises so far in doing this work?
I think probably the biggest surprise is how leadership and management are surprised at how fundamental and simple some of the solutions are to engage. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about it, the whole engagement conversation, it's a $1 billion industry, right? There's people out there talking about how to engage from technology solutions right through to training programs and all sorts of things. So all of that is relevant, but at the real heart of everything, it's getting some really simple things in place as a foundation. 1-5-30, going heads up, looking for the bad hair day moments. Those are all the foundation, right? And then when you get into the sexy stuff, you know, what really engages people? Freedom. You know, what really engages them? Community. And so those are the things that you as a leader, you can then build capability around to come and solve some of those things, to take a look at what can I do to make my, you know, make enable my guys to feel freer.
Yeah. Take them up another level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes such a huge difference. Yeah.
It does.
If there were one thing that you could have every people manager start doing tomorrow, let's assume they're already doing 1-5-30. Let's assume that they're already having some of those continuous conversations. What's the one thing that you would wish for all of them to be able to do?
I will reinforce that heads up and 1-5-30 are probably the absolute top of the list, if you like. But I think there's also something to be said about the lens that you look through. So if you think about all the new technology that is being put into businesses and what oftentimes people get kind of hung up on, they do two things. They say it's a user adoption issue. We've got to get users to adopt the technology.
Right. And they forget, or user error.
Exactly. And they forget that the users are actually people. Right. Mm. And so it's not a user adoption issue. It's a people behavior change issue. And that is a leadership issue. That's what we as leaders need to influence the behaviors. Right. But I always use again, one of those silly and really simple stories. But if you think about when Facebook was launched, Mark Zuckerberg did not go out and do a million road shows to everybody's house, you know, and start with memos and big email communications and then and tell everybody, oh, you have to use Facebook, right? Right. He did nothing. What happened was it was easy to use. People liked it. They talked about it with each other. They created little mini coaching sessions between themselves. They taught each other how to use it. And suddenly you've got a billion people on the planet using Facebook. How much of that, if you were really, you know, if you really think about it, there's so much of that you can take to work and learn from. And so the next time you have to implement a new technology, which happens all the time now, ask yourself, what can I do that Facebook did? How do I really get people to use my technology by thinking of it as a people thing and not a corporate user adoption thing?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so valuable. And it makes me think, you know, not to stay in Silicon Valley for too long, but Larry Page, you know, one of Larry Page's things was the toothbrush test. Is it something that somebody needs to use every single day, at least once, ideally twice? And can you just pick it up and intuitively use it, you know, that the toothbrush test was sort of, you know, his go-to for go, no go on a project? Does it pass the toothbrush test? It's simple, it's elegant, it's necessary. It's not more complicated than that, you know, and that's a great way to engage people. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think there's so much we can learn from real life, you know, life outside work, that you can bring to work. And the more that you do that, I just think the better you'll be and the more you'll manage to engage.
Yeah, certainly. And it, like you said, it reconnects to this is real people that we're working with.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's not users, it's people. They're your people. You care for them.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thanks, Pam. This has been great.
Yeah.
And thank you, everyone out there, for listening to this episode. Perhaps you found us directly online. You can also easily find HR Matters on your favorite podcast app, including Apple Podcasts, or on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and a bunch of others. So look us up in your favorite app and subscribe to make sure you're the first to learn about our newest episodes, because there is more coming up. We'd love to get a review, hear your feedback, get a rating. Perhaps you have a topic in mind that you'd like us to explore, or a guest that you'd love us to meet. And we would love to hear what's on your mind in the workplace. Do let us know. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.